Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. I'll begin with a note of appreciation. Due to some very last minute sickness and other issues, several of the ladies' classes will be led by ladies who had planned to do other things with their morning than to make a class lesson last minute. So thank you for that. And if you happen to be in one of those classes, please help your teacher out. There was once a controversial Jewish rabbi who told his listeners a story. The story was about a farmer and his motivationally challenged offspring, and it went like this. What do you think? A certain man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same, and he answered, "I go, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, "The first." In this story, we see two elements of the two sons' responses contrasted: what they said and what they did. The one son said, "Yes, I'll go," and then didn't. The other said, "No, I don't think that's for me today." And then he did change his mind and decide to go. Recently, I've been thinking quite a bit about the relationship between between saying and doing. I've also had several discussions with a good friend of mine about this and about how much easier it is for us to talk about our goals and aspirations than to actually carry them out. Not only do we find the talk easier than the doing, but we started to wonder if talking could actually be part of the problem, if talking about it could actually keep us from carrying it out. Think about it. I don't know that Jesus was necessarily saying that the two sons' verbal responses led them to the opposite action. He was simply using a very basic story, a very simple story, to drive home a very important point. That is that talking is no substitute for doing. It seems like a pretty simple point, but somehow it's one that we as humans tend to miss anyway. We tend to confuse the two. Let's start by noting the context of the story. Jesus told this story to the Pharisees and teachers of the law. He told it immediately after they had challenged his authority. And then he followed this story with a string of parables all aimed at exposing their hypocrisy. Now, we know that the Pharisees were experts at talking rather than doing. Only a chapter later, Jesus makes this point even more clear when he said, "The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works that they do, for they preach but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all of their deeds to be seen by others." He said they preach but do not practice. They talk but they don't do. We see that the Pharisees were not really concerned with actually accomplishing what they discussed as much as they were concerned with how they'll appear to other people. So what about us? We're 10 days into a new year, and it's a good time to be taking stock of the last year and thinking ahead to our goals for the coming year. New Year's resolutions are, of course, talked about, joked about, and often disparaged as fairly pointless. But I think the new year can be a really appropriate time to be reflecting on the past and looking ahead. Obviously, there's nothing magical about a new year that's suddenly going to make your goals so much easier. But it's a great opportunity to invite God to pour out fresh grace. God has structured our time on earth to be divided into days, seasons, and years. And I think part of the reason he does that is because he recognizes that as humans, we need lots of fresh starts. So he graciously gives us a new day every 24 hours. And he says that his grace is new every morning. In a similar way, I think a new year is a fresh start from him and a gift that we can capitalize on. So, with that little side note, as we think about the coming year, as you think about your goals and aspirations, what are you going to do with those goals this coming year? Conventional wisdom has said that sharing your goals with others will make you more likely to succeed because it will provide accountability for you. Well, there's certainly truth to that. But for a little bit, let's consider a contrasting argument. Derek Sivers gave a short, poignant talk in which he argued that those who share their goals are actually less likely to carry them out. And his argument is backed by documented research. But why would that be the case? The reason is that when we share a lofty goal or aspiration with someone else, we get this rush of affirmation inside ourselves that makes us feel good about ourselves, and it actually tricks us into thinking that we're well on the way to accomplishing that goal. The other person might look at you with new admiration for the high ideals that you set for yourself, and you might deceive yourself into thinking that you are actually already the person you idealize being. And so as a result, we relax and never actually quite get the goal put into practice. Now I need to balance it again. This could come across as somewhat anti-brotherhood. Am I proposing that we shut up and don't share anything with anybody? No, not necessarily. I simply want us to be aware of the intoxicating effect that talking can have. We are a people who are prone to talking at the expense of doing. An article in the Harvard Business Review discussed the prevalence of this talking versus doing problem in the workplace. The article is titled "The Smart Talk Trap," and it said, "When confronted with a problem, people act as if discussing it, formulating decisions, and hashing out plans for action are the same as actually fixing it." It's an understandable response, because talking, unlike action, requires little risk. But it can paralyze a company. And I would add, a church. Now, I love a good spiritual discussion. I'll confess that I'm a bit of a discussion junkie. I come away with this warm glow and a sense that I'm among people who are passionate about seeing the kingdom come on earth. But therein lies the warning signal. That warm glow might be the very thing that keeps you from actually doing it. We'll nestle comfortably into the warm embrace of the intellectual ideas and softly whisper to our conscience that at least we're discussing the issues. Or, I feel so alive at this church. The people are so spiritual here. The Apostle James gives us a very clear warning about this kind of behavior. James 1, 22 through 25 are very familiar verses, but listen again. "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, excuse me, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." What does James mean in the first verse here, verse 22, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves"? Have you ever thought about that deception? What is he talking about? Could it be that warm sense of accomplishment that comes from talking about our goals without actually doing them? "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So as we walk together as a church into the coming year, will we share our goals and aspirations with each other or no? I hope that each of us will make the wisest choice in regards to that. But whether you share with others or keep it between yourself and the Lord, let's be aware of the intoxicating effect of merely talking about our ideals, and may God give each of us the grace to be doers of the word. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we confess that our hearts are deceptive and that we are often deceived into thinking that we are doing better than we really are. We are tricked into living for the appearance before other people and for the praise of others. We pray that you would give us the grace to be honest with our own hearts and help us to be aware of times when we're being deceived into thinking that we're obeying, when in fact we're only hearing or talking about your word. I pray that in this coming year you would give us grace to listen to your spirit about the things that you want us to grow in, and that you would also give us grace to carry out what you put on our hearts. And Father, as we interact as a brotherhood, I pray that our interactions and talking could sharpen and shape each other, and that we could spur each other on to love and good works, and that it would be a healthy part of growing in you. Father, I pray now for your Spirit's presence in our Sunday school classes as we dig in and digest your word. And I pray that we would hear from you and then that we would act. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.